Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. It's 1 o'clock on a Thursday, so that means Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and Sportsnet joins us now. Elliot, always look forward to our sit-downs with you every single week. Predators made their road trip up to your neck of the woods, taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs this past weekend. I saw in your latest 27 thoughts, I see we're slacking around the holidays. Yes. Elliot, 27 thoughts.
Sorry.
But I saw you.
Too much eggnog the other day.
Yeah. So you talked to Ryan O'Reilly, you talked to Roman Josi, talked to Andrew Brunette about Roman Josi. What were some of your takeaways with your conversations with some people here in Nashville?
Well, first of all, I always love seeing those guys. That's number one. I just thought that the one thing I see there is that it's a pretty happy group. You're always happier when you're winning. They didn't win that night, but they're on a good little stretch. I think they have an understanding of where they're going, and I believe they like the direction they are going in. I forgot to write, but Jeremy Lauzon said he accepted Austin Watson's apology for what happened at the end of that game last Thursday when he shot the puck at him. I think it's a little tougher, you know, for some of the guys like Tyson Barrie or Dante Fabro, who are a bit more in limbo about where they're going. But I think generally there's an understanding of what the Predators are thinking and what their direction is. I found that. They were in a good mood when I saw them. And, you know, the only thing that I was really felt bad about was I chatted with Cody Glass, and at the end I called him Cole instead of Cody, and I felt like a big idiot.
But there is Cole Smith on the team, so I think you got a little
slack on that. I'd seen Cole Smith earlier, and his stall was about three down from Cody's, so I just had a brain lock, I guess.
But the backdrop is, didn't Cody Glass at some point come up to you and say, hey, I'm a big fan of yours, I grew up watching you, and stuff like that, and you still butchered his name after that?
And I still butcher his name. It just shows, like, I'm that ungrateful Christmas guest who brings the worst meal to the party. That's what I am.
You're the one that brings the Christmas vacation turkey that just completely explodes whenever you put your fork into
it.
Yeah, totally understand.
Yes.
One thing that you did put in your 27 thoughts, you talked with Andrew Brunette, said Roman Josi's one request was getting the puck up the ice faster. And I think that's kind of the moniker of Andrew Brunette's system. When your conversations with people that you had that you were talking with in Nashville, do they feel like they're at that point, that they're playing with the kind of speed that they wanted to when bringing Andrew Brunette in?
Better. I definitely think it's better. I think, like, the one thing is that when you ask your captain to do something, that's a big moment, because if your captain buys in, then everybody will buy in, right? And clearly Josi has done that. I actually was texting with a coach this morning who saw that, and he said he thinks that it hasn't always been easy for Josi in terms of deprogramming from what you're used to. But the fact that Josi's done it has sent a proper message through the team. I think, Carolyn, for the most part, it's working. I think most teams prefer to play that way. I think that, you know, the one thing I've been looking for it now in a couple of games, I think sometimes when things break down for the Predators, you can see Josi's instinct is, this isn't working, so I've got to go back to what I'm used to. And I think sometimes that's the biggest challenge, because when it's not working, that's when you really get tested on, are we committed to this?
Now, Elliot, let's flip this back over to, and I know I asked you about Philip last week, Philip Forsberg, and the type of season he's having. And mind you, you know, just like you know, the core guys, they've been through three coaches within the last 5 years. But it seems like he keeps reinventing himself. But even this year, I mean, he's on pace. He's gotten better his numbers from last year. He missed, what, 30 games last year because of injury. Right now, he's obliterating, really will obliterate those numbers from last year. But in your experience of, you know, just watching this league, being a part of this league, have you seen guys that have, you know, transitions from, you know, coach to coach to coach have an impact that he's having? It's such a, you know, he's been in the league, what, 10, 12 years now. But it seems like he's playing like a young kid again.
You know, I have to say this. The first thing I think of when I see that, Derek, is just what a great player he is. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, he can – like, you can, like, basically what he's proven is, you want me to play this way, I can play that way. You want me to play this way, I can play that way. You want me to play this way, I can play that way. And the only thing I would say to you is, off the top of my head, Derek, I can't think of specific examples, but what I can tell you is that that's what great players do. You're going to find the historically great players out there in the league, no matter what their coach asks them to do, they're going to be able to do it. Like, you look at, like, a guy like Ovechkin in Washington, how many coaches did he have in his career? He had a ton of them, and he still scored at an unbelievable pace. And, like, that says to me what Forsberg is he's a great player because he can do whatever a coach needs him to do.
Now, you know, we talked earlier about this team and you know, getting to the Thanksgiving break and seeing where they are or where they were.
Yeah.
Now you look at this team and where they are. I think they're, what, fifth position or somewhere around there as far as playoffs.
Yeah, wild card one
wild
right
card
now.
Wild card one right now. Do you expect the way they have been playing, do you expect this team to continue this run? Because I know you still got your young guys mixed with older guys, and you know they're still getting used to all of the nuances of this team, and you know how long a season is. I mean, anything can happen. But do you expect this team to continue to improve?
Yes, I do, because there's a couple of reasons to that. Number one, if you're going to have trouble playing a new system, it's going to be early as opposed to later. And you know, if you're the Predators, you hope that — remember that one week I came on with you and they were 31st in the league? Mm-hmm. You hope that that's rock bottom. You figure that you don't need to go through that again. So that's number one. You think everybody's getting used to what they're being asked to do, and everybody should get better. Number two, you still have one of the best goalies in the league, and he wins you a lot of games. And number three, the one thing about some of your young players is, they did go through some pretty high-pressure games, you know, last year. And so what you're kind of hoping is, you know, maybe we fell short and we made a change, but the bottom line is they understood what it was like to play in important games, games that could determine your playoff position. And you don't expect them to go backwards. You expect them to, okay, you know, maybe we weren't successful, but I have some idea now of what it takes. And we should be better off for it. Like, I think, you know what Yossi's capable of, you know what Forsberg's capable of, you know what your top players are capable of. Now, you're going to find out, okay, did Parsonen learn from last year? Did Cody Glass learn from last year better than I learned how to remember his name? Like, things like that. Like, and that's what I'm looking at. You're saying to these guys, Novak, like, you're saying to these guys, okay, you had a taste last year. What are you going to do with it this year? Now, the one thing I believe, Derek, is this, and that is that I don't think that Barry Trotz is going to veer from his plan. I think at times, you know, they've done a really good job this year and better than we expected, but I don't think they're under any illusions of where they're going. They are not a team at this point in time that's a threat to win the Stanley Cup. I think that they're probably very happy with the way things are going, and their fans are probably very happy with the way things are going, but you're not thinking you're going to win it all this year. So I'm not expecting Barry Trotz to make short-term moves. I don't think he should make short-term moves. You know, the one thing I still think, and I watch it while watching the team, is I still think he wants to remodel his defense a bit. I think he wants it to get a bit longer. If you look at the teams that have won the Stanley Cup lately, they're tall, long teams that are mobile. They can skate. They can defend. They set up like a picket fence or a corn maze in your zone. That's what I see from Trotz. I think he looks at them and says, we need to be mobile on defense, but we need to be longer and bigger. And that, I think, is one of his big goals for them.
With that in mind, Elliot, you had a really good sit down with Luke Shen. And right now he's in that numbers crunch, right? They've got the right shot defenseman that they've got Shen, who they just signed for 3 years, and then they've got Tyson Barry, Dante Fabro, who you mentioned, and then add Alex Carrier, all in the last year of their contract. So they've got decisions to make there, and you can see Andrew Burnett trying to juggle it and keep everybody in there, but it's hard when everybody's healthy. So let's start with Shen. He's obviously just a great storyteller. He's been around the block. You had a great conversation with him, but here people are still getting to know him. He got hurt early, so they haven't really seen his best. And so tell me where you think he's going in this, because he's a key guy that is probably going to be around for a while.
Yeah, I just think, like, the one thing is it was a pretty traumatic knee injury. Like, when it first happened, honestly, Willie, someone told me he might be done. Like, and so, like, he fought. Would have been easy for him to say, I've got my contract. I don't need this anymore. And he wasn't taking any of that. He's got a second opinion, and he wants to play. So I think that, like, that says to me that, you know, maybe he's been in the league 15 years or whatever, but he hasn't lost the fire, and he still very much wants to play. So, he's a terrific guy, too, and he's going to be there. Like, he's not on your top pair except in spot duty, but he's going to be there. Like, you know, we all know Tyson Berry's situation. He's asked to go, and they're going to try to accommodate him. You know, Dante Fabro's a guy who hasn't been in the lineup all the time. I don't know that he's asked for a trade, but I know what young people are like in those kind of situations. He's probably a lot of, if I'm not going to play, you know, please send me somewhere that I can. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case with him. Carrier for me is an interesting one. I really liked him. The fact that he's not permanently in the lineup says to me that they're not sure. But, like, one, if not two, of these guys I think are eventually going to end up going. Not Shen, I don't believe. And then we'll see what Trotz does with some cap room either now or in the offseason.
This could be just more of a perspective question than your specifics on these two players, but I think a lot of Predator fans were excited to see that Matthew Wood and Tanner Molendijk, the two first-round picks from the draft in Nashville last summer, both made Team Canada's World Junior team right out of the draft. So maybe just if you could put in perspective how tough that team is to make, especially your first year out of the draft, because I think people are excited to hear about their progress.
Well, first of all, I think it's a great thing for the Predators and their fans. Anytime these kids get put on these teams, it's a real vindication of what you're doing and the kind of players you're drafting. So you really like that. Number two, like, those games get aired on NHL Network now in the States. So if there are Predators who want to watch it, you can find them. I would always recommend it. It's a great tournament to watch, even though we don't air it. Don't tell my bosses I said that.
Anyway, okay.
So I think it's a real feather in the cap for the Predators. I think it's a real feather in the cap for those two players. It's a big deal in our country. There's a lot of other countries that don't care about this tournament as much as we do. When we don't win it, we have, like, national investigations. So the pressure's on the – and we're not a favorite this year either. I think – I don't follow it as closely – but, like, people who know, they tell me Sweden and the United States, you guys are the two favorites. So they'll be playing from an underdog position. It's a big deal. They'll get a lot of exposure. And anytime you have two kids make this team, because it's very competitive, there are good players who don't make it. So anytime you make this team, it's a real shot in the arm for what you guys are doing in these players.
and correct me if I'm wrong, right? There are guys that were drafted last year that are on this, so they're a year younger than some of the guys on the team. So that's a good sign that they're good enough to make the team even at this age.
Yes, that is true, Willie. Basically, the world championships are for guys who are under 20. That's the age cutoff. And it's basically called a 19-year-old tournament. So anytime you make it and you're not 19, it means that you're really caught somebody's eye.
Well, that's good. And before we let you go, your thoughts on the Blues, a Central Division neighbor here, letting Craig Berube go, yeah, because you know he's got a Stanley Cup and he's won a lot of games, but it seems like the Blues just got stuck here recently, similar to what we saw in Minnesota.
You know, I think that Craig Berube, I really love Craig Berube. He's one of my favorites to deal with. I think he's a really honest, blunt, demanding guy. Like Derek, he'd be like a football coach coaching hockey. He's not so much about the X's and O's. What he's about is there's a puck. Who's willing to fight for it? Who's willing to battle to win that fight? Who's willing to beat the man in front of them to get the puck? And, you know, I think he's a grinder, and that's like he played 1,000 games in the NHL the hardest way. He fought his way to do it, and he was hugely respected and very well thought of. But, you know, the one thing I think is when you're that kind of a coach, it's hard to be in one place for a long time. He just passed 5 years. He won the Stanley Cup in his first season, and those players loved him to a man. But as I wrote today, I think of the Larry Bird rule. Larry Bird was a good coach for the Pacers, but he stopped after 3 years. He said after 3 years, even the players who don't like you, even the players who like you are tired of listening to you. And that's one of the things I heard. It was just time. And I have no doubt he will go somewhere else and be successful, but I think it was time in St. Louis.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, always appreciate your insight. We're looking forward to your five other thoughts that were left off this week. We'll see those sprinkle out throughout the rest.
Caroline's giving you the incomplete.
Next week, Carolyn, I'll have a heart attack, but I'll give you 37.
Okay. I appreciate that.
37,
Let's
okay.
know if you want any more ideas.
Yeah,
we're an idea Thanks. Factory over here at 102.5 The Game.
I need it. Believe it. I need it.
Elliot, appreciate y'all as always. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll chat next week.
Take care, guys.
All right, thanks, you too. What did you make of St. Louis firing Craig Berube? Honestly, I was waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, I think last year when they started the transition, I think a lot of people were eyeing, okay, how does he fit into all this? And just we talked about this with Mike Vrabel. When the window looks like it's closed and it's sort of you come to the end of an era. And when you trade Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko, I think that signals that you're going in a different direction.
Right.
It's hard for the coach to go through that transition sometimes. They gave him a shot. I think it shows a lot of respect. They gave him a shot to start the year. But some of the same things that plagued them last year are rendering themselves so far this year. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to know what a new person with new ideas tries to do.
Blues are in a tough spot.
Yeah.
And
for Predator fans, it's like, let's keep going in that direction. I like slip down. That's fine.
Right. Yeah.
We'll jump in there.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll fill in. We're good. We're good right here. All right. Coming up next, some news coming out of Boston. How does that affect the Titans? How does it affect us here in Nashville? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Valenti Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Plus, tomorrow it is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold.